where you are, it might be colder, but for this neck of the woods, that's pretty chilly. Dr. Jim is on his way home from his conference in Las Vegas, and I would like to thank him for offering his talk show to me today to host it. And we're going to be talking about how we got into the shape that we're in as far as our country is concerned. We also are going to have, this is going to be a call-in show, and the number that you can reach us here is 979-830-0163. And you're welcome to call about any question you may have or comment. But I'm going to begin the show this morning by giving you some information about the 14th Amendment. In fact, I told the folks at Country Bible Church, that this program, at least the first part of it, is going to be about the 14th Amendment and how it affects current events today. And not many people know about the 14th Amendment, but we'll go over that in just a moment. First of all, I think we need to go to the Lord in prayer to open the program. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us another day. We pray for Dr. Jim as he is coming back from Las Vegas, that you'll give him a safe travel. And for Ed Halsbond, who has been delayed there in Las Vegas and trying to get a flight back, we just pray that you'll give them safe travels. We also pray for my wife, Carrie, who is about to leave to go to the dentist in Belleville. It's kind of, I don't know if there's how icy the roads are, but she's got a thriving toothache. So pray that you'll be with her and be with us as we go over the information today that we need in order to stand firm for the truth and be good ambassadors for Christ. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, first thing we want to think about is what is this? How did we get to the place where we are today? Well, 5 days ago, last Wednesday, the Texas same-sex marriage ban that was passed in 2005 was struck down by a U.S. district judge. Then the next day, that would be last Thursday, we had an Arizona governor with tremendous pressure vetoed a religious freedom bill. Now, it wasn't called a religious freedom bill. It was actually called the anti-gay bill. And I'm going to read you just a few lines from, I think this was in the New York Times, but I'm not sure. Anyway, I have a few little lines I'd like to read about this, because this has everything to do with the 14th Amendment that most people don't know much about. The headline says, Arizona Governor Brewer weighs anti-gay bill SB 1062. By the way, I don't remember if I gave you the phone number. I guess that would be handy to have if you're going to call in. My number here is 979-830-0163. Again, that's 979-830-0163. Now, again, this was presented as an anti-gay bill, which it was not, but all the headlines that I've read about it call it an anti-gay bill. So this name that I'm looking at here, I'm reading on my screen some excerpts about this bill, was Arizona Governor Brewer weighs anti-gay bill SB 106. She weighs against and actually vetoes. Now, this title could just as easily been Arizona Governor Brewer vetoes religious freedom bill. You see, it's the way they present it, even in the title, has a lot to do with what people think about it. And it was a religious freedom bill, but they're presenting it as an anti-gay bill. And then it goes on to say that Arizona's governor is meeting opponents and supporters of a bill that would allow business owners to refuse services to gay people are on religious grounds. Mrs. Brewer, a conservative, and that's what they say here, is a conservative, faced pressure from the business community, including corporations such as Intel, American Airlines, Marriott, in order to veto the bill, and particularly to avoid distracting from the state's hosting of the 2015 Super Bowl. So all these pressures come in on the governor, which should have made no difference whatsoever. This governor, like all people who hold office in government, made an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. But of course, that's not the way things are run anymore. We also have Secretary of State John Kerry on Wednesday urged Ms. Brewer to make the right decision and veto the bill. Now, this came from the Secretary of State of the United States, which is John Kerry. But he's not the only one that weighed in on this. There were people from all over the country that was outraged that a southern state, one like Arizona, would even think about signing that bill into law. But here's something that's very interesting that Secretary of State John Kerry said. He said, but he predicted that even if she does sign the legislation, it would be struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, that's what I want to talk about today for the most part. It doesn't matter what the governor did. It doesn't matter what the people wanted. One federal judge can strike down the will of the people in the states, and people wonder, well, how does that happen? How did we ever get to this point? And that's what I want to talk about. Before I go into the 14th Amendment, I want to bring up one other thing about the Texas gay marriage ban that was ruled unconstitutional. That was last Wednesday, February the 26th. And just read a few highlights of that. The Texas state ban on same-sex marriage was ruled unconstitutional Wednesday by a U.S. federal judge. The matter had been deferred to the Fifth Circuit of, Court of Appeals, and the suit brought on behalf of couples was aimed at winning recognition for same-sex marriage in the Deep South, where every state has a constitutional amendment or law that establishes legal marriage as only being between one man and one woman. It is a historic victory, said Neil Lane, lead attorney for the gay couples. He went on to say, there has been 19 decisions since last summer, and all of the rulings have come down in favor of the plaintiffs challenging same-sex restrictions as unconstitutional. The direction has been very clear. The courts have found that restrictions based on sexual orientation should be stricken down as unconstitutional. Texas voters overwhelmingly approved a constitutional amendment that banned same-sex marriage in 2005. And Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott, the Republican frontrunner in the gubernatorial race this year, and a defendant in the suit, has argued the state has a right to establish its own marriage policies. Now, hooray for Greg Abbott or any other person who is holding office that recognizes the rights of the states in not only this issue, but in so many others. Most issues are a state's rights issue, and the 14th Amendment essentially turned that upside down. We'll get to that in a moment. He said his office is preparing for an appeal. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled over and over again that states have the authority to define and regulate marriage. This is what he said in a statement. And this has always been the case. Each state has its own laws regarding marriage, how old you must be to get married, and about divorce. All these things are state issues. But because the same-sex marriage issue is such a hot issue, and it's overwhelmingly being accepted across the country, you have the federal government stepping in and vetoing, essentially, banning these laws in the states. Texas Governor Rick Perry said the courts should not interfere with the rights of the states. Hooray for him. That is the issue right there. He went on to say that the 10th Amendment guarantees Texas voters the freedom to make these decisions, and this is yet another attempt to achieve via the courts what couldn't be achieved at the ballot box. Supporters for gay marriage has surged in the United States in the decade since it first became legal in Massachusetts, and just over half of Americans now are supporting the idea, according to a survey released on Wednesday. Now, I don't know about you folks, but this is astounding to me that half of Americans today are supporting gay rights, or same-sex marriages. Who would ever heard of this 20 years ago, even, or 30 years ago? Just wasn't even on the radar screen. It shows how far people have strayed from their biblical moral moorings and have been affected, or I might say infected, by the worldview, and it's just a really a sad state of affairs that we're in. In all, 17 states plus the District of Columbia recognize gay marriage, including 8 states where it became legal in 2013. 17 states already. The trend has gathered steam since the Supreme Court in June ruled that legally married same-sex couples nationwide are eligible for federal benefits, striking down a key part of the 1996 Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Some of you will identify that as the DOMA. They call it the DOMA Act. And we have a president that just decided that he wasn't going to enforce that. We have a Supreme Court that just ignores the Constitution. They go by precedent rather than the original organic Constitution. This is what our founding fathers bequeathed to us. This is a few of the reasons, are the symptoms of the root problem. And the root problem is that there was a time when the states were sovereign. Prior to 1868, the federal government stayed pretty much within their bounds of the delegated authority to it. But if you'll note that 1868 was about 3 years after what we call the Civil War ended, and the South decisively lost that war. And because of that, you had the North, who had ignored states' rights, essentially. The idea that the Civil War was fought over slavery is really misguided. Slavery was an issue, but the main issue was states' rights. When a new state would come into the Union, there was a great rift between the North and the South about whether that state should be a free state or a slave state. And there was a lot of tension there. But this is where, after the Civil War, the 14th Amendment was passed by the North. The South had nothing to say about it, even though it's been reported that it was ratified. But I have a couple of history books that says otherwise, that they didn't have enough votes to ratify it, so they went ahead and passed it anyway. Well, this type of thing has happened throughout history. And what I'm going to do now is go to the book that I hopefully will have out maybe in a few months, hopefully. It's called Tolerating Tyranny. I want to read you a part of that. This isn't a chapter, but it's a subchapter. And the name of this subchapter is Constitutional Amendments That Crippled America. It is public naivety that permits federal duplicity. Now, that means that when people are naive about their government, they're not very vigilant in requiring that their representatives in government follow the Constitution, then there is duplicity, which means they underhandedly pass laws that the people believe is good for them. Going on with the article here, the fact that the American people have been programmed by the media and duped by politicians for a long time is evident by the amendments that were added to the Constitution between 1868 and 1913. Between those dates, 1868 and 1913, there were four particularly devastating amendments that was added to the Constitution. The fact that the people allowed their state legislatures to ratify the disastrous 14th, 16th, 17th, and 18th amendments to the Constitution demonstrates that people truly do get the government they deserve. The 14th Amendment punished the South and destroyed state sovereignty. I'm going to repeat that. The 14th Amendment, which was passed in 1868, punished the South, who had lost the war, and destroyed state sovereignty. The 16th Amendment instituted an income tax. The 17th Amendment allowed the election of senators that effectively removed their accountability to the people. And the 18th Amendment installed prohibition. Now, all of these were devastating upon the country. The 14th Amendment, excuse me just one moment, my screen is jumping all around. See if I can. This might be a good time to give you the phone number again. The phone number is 979-830-0163. Now, the 14th Amendment was probably the most dastardly and harmful of all. It turned the Constitution upside down when it gave the federal government carte blanche power over the states. This is a quote from Christianity and Civilization, Geneva Divinity School Press came out with this quote. Here's the quote. The political creature, that would be the federal government, now has the temerity to dictate to its creators, the states. So they understood that the creature is now over the creation. Now bear in mind that the U.S. Constitution was created by sovereign states to do the exact opposite. That is to keep the federal government in check by confining it to only well-defined and rigidly specific limited powers. Also, the 10th Amendment, the Bill of Rights, the 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights were added to make sure that the federal government respected the individual rights of the people. The 9th Amendment declared that Americans have other rights other than those listed in the Bill of Rights. So you understand what I'm saying. The first 10 amendments to the Constitution is known as the Bill of Rights. And in the Bill of Rights, you had the people who wanted to make sure that the federal government stayed within the specific issues things that they could do that were specifically stated in the Constitution. You have the Congress has 20 specific things that they're allowed to do. The judicial branch has 11 things that they are allowed to do. The executive branch, yeah, that's right, the judicial branch has 11, and the executive branch has 6. So, here's the 9th Amendment that is making sure that the people have other rights other than those just listed in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. Here's the 9th Amendment. Quote, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So what this is saying is that the people want to make sure that the government knew that the people have other rights not listed there. So actually, the Bill of Rights is a partial list of the rights that the people have. The people still have rights that are not enumerated in that Bill of Rights. This is what they wanted to make sure that the to tie the federal government down to where they would understand that it's the people who have the power. The 10th Amendment recognizes the sovereignty of the states as well as the people and keeps the federal government in check by giving it only the powers the Constitution specifically grants to it. Now, the 10th Amendment is so important, and here is the 10th Amendment. Quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, that is so important. All of the first 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights are important. But this is really restricting the federal government in tying its hands. And if it was being observed by the politicians that are in Washington today, everything would be different. Some mistakenly think that the federal government has can say or do can't do anything unless the Constitution, prohibits it. Not so. It can do only what specifically is granted to it by the Constitution. If it's not granted, the federal government is forbidden to do it. So a lot of people think, well, the government can do anything. They can pass a health care law that prohibits people from keeping their doctor, from being able to keep their insurance, and force them to buy into a government health care and even be fined or taxed if they don't do that. Now, this is absurd. I started to say obscene. It's obscene and it's absurd as well, because that is not specifically granted that in the Constitution. In fact, most of what the government does, maybe up to 90% of what the government does, is against the Constitution. That's how far we've slipped. Now, I'm reading again in my Tolerating Tyranny. The wording of the Bill of Rights confirms the sovereignty of the states over the federal government. Now, listen to the wording. I'm just giving a few phrases out of the first 10 amendments that show that the states are sovereign. The first one is, Congress shall make no law. This is in the First Amendment. This is how the Bill of Rights begins. And you see that it is has sovereignty over the Congress. It is the United States Congress. Congress shall make no law. And then we have establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And there's so much going on about that. But that's the first phrase. Another one is, no soldier shall. It is saying that no soldier is going to be forcibly enter into a house against the people's will, and they're not going to house the soldiers, as was the case at the time of this writing. The right of the people, recognizing the right. Here's another one. Shall not be violated. The rights of the people shall not be violated. Oh, hold on. You need this. Excuse me. My wife is leaving to go to the dentist. She needs a cell phone.
Money too.
Oh, did you look in my wallet? Okay. Excuse me. Then we have another phrase. No person shall be deprived. Here's another phrase. Nor shall any person be subject. All these are guarantees that the states were going to retain their sovereignty and that the people were going to be protected from an overreaching federal government. Now, notice the wording of the 14th Amendment. Now, this is the second sentence of the 14th Amendment. It has five parts to it. This is the first part, the second sentence. I believe it was last week or maybe the week before that, because Dr. Jim was in Las Vegas. It was the week before last Dr. Jim and I spent nearly the whole time covering just the first sentence of the 14th Amendment. But here is the second sentence of the 14th Amendment. It says, no state shall make or enforce any law. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment. Do you see what happened here in the 14th Amendment? This is in 1868 when this was implemented. It says, no state shall make or enforce any law. So now what we have, instead of the federal government being regulated, now we have the states being regulated. And everything that's in this 14th Amendment is going to be the federal government now imposing its will over the people, which we'll see in a moment. So it says, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny the equal protection of the laws. Now, all of this is the regulation and restriction of states. Prior to this, everything that you see in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights was to confine and restrict the federal government. But now the 14th Amendment is restricting and confining the state. Now, I'll go on with my article here, or my portion of my book. It says, who enforces the stipulations of this amendment? Well, the federal government, of course. The federal government can now enforce its arbitrary will over the once sovereign states that created it. The 14th Amendment shifted the sovereignty of the states to the federal government. Now, I want you to just think how devastating this has been and how this has turned everything upside down. I'll go to the next paragraph or two to help you understand what I'm trying to portray here. The Fifth Amendment, now I'm going back to the Bill of Rights, the Fifth Amendment, I'm going to quote something that it says. The Fifth Amendment, part of the Bill of Rights, says, quote, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now listen to that again. Now this is part of the Bill of Rights, the Fifth Amendment. Part of that, the Fifth Amendment is the amendment where you can't be judged twice for the same crime and that you don't have to be a witness against yourself. But it also says this, and I'm quoting from the Fifth Amendment, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, compare that to Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. This is what it says. Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The wording is nearly identical, so what is the difference? Here's the difference. The Fifth Amendment limits the power of the federal government, whereas the 14th Amendment limits the power of the states. Did you hear that? It's nearly identical wording. The Fifth Amendment was restricting limiting the power of the federal government, where now the 14th Amendment is passed, and they just took essentially the same wording from the Fifth Amendment. But now this time, it is the states that are limited. It's essentially, what it did was essentially repeal the Bill of Rights by giving the federal government unlimited power over the once sovereign states. Now the federal government tells the states what they can and cannot do, which is exactly what our founding fathers tried to prevent. Today, we have the tail wagging the dog. Now, no one has called in, and I know I've been giving you some information here that maybe you might have a question about or a comment, but I still hope that some of you will call in to ask a question or have a comment about this or anything else that you would like to have. I'm going to go on and read a little more about this 14th Amendment that's in my book, but please feel free to call in if you have a question or a comment. The number again is 979-830-0163. But what has essentially happened is that the federal government today is using the courts in order to assert its will over the states. We just talked about a while ago, last Wednesday, the same-sex marriage act was shot down by one federal judge. We have a call up here. Hello, this is Pastor Mike. You're on the air.
Hello, Mike.
Yes. Get away from the computer or turn your,
I'll get out of the room. Don't be out here. This is like, this point of 1868, is where we have the point of destroying the rights, of the individual and the states and the people. And prior to that, it was a protection of the rights of the people. It's very distinct there. You can see it that 14th Amendment been in 1868 and just settled out, and the carpetbaggers and all of the reconstruction was planned havoc all through the southern states and taking their property and everything else. And,
Pete, can you talk as loud as you can, because I'm just holding the phone up close to the microphone. I'm not sure that they're hearing you, so talk as loud as you can.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
I see a distinct break. The founding fathers gave us the first 10 to really protect our rights, our property, and liberty, and everything else that was outlined in there for a sane society. But in 1868, after the South was overrun by those who would tear up states' rights, there's a new type of activity going on to destroy that which the first 10 established. And the main thing I see is we got to be careful, because there's movements on that keep calling for a constitutional convention to rectify the problem. And if you look at this real close, it sounds good. But with those in power that we have today, and with their thoughts being internationalism, destructive to sovereign rights of states, that would be one of the most dangerous things that we could do, is call for a constitutional convention to rectify these errors that the people allowed to be put in force. Like you said, they get the government they deserve, but we don't want to fall for another deception and allow the people to be deceived again by going the wrong direction. So what we need to do is be aware that anytime there is a constitutional convention, you cannot limit the subject matter. Some will say they would want to do term limitations, balanced budget, and all these. They sound good. We need all that. But don't choose the wrong route to get there. We got to go back and start repealing these, and be careful how we ratify others. So we've got to study the issues, or we're going to keep losing. And that's basically what I've got to say, Mike.
Okay, well, just hang on for the phone for a moment, because I want to say a few things about that. First of all, we need to remember, if we did have a constitutional convention, which I agree with what you're saying, what makes us think that they're going to, the politicians in office, are going to obey that any more than they're obeying the one that we have now?
That's right. If they're not obeying the one we've got now, they won't obey the new, and they'll keep going. But they'll make it more liberal for sure.
But the problem is, I don't believe the problem is the Constitution. The problem is that the people are allowing the politicians to ignore the Constitution and have for
that's
a long
right.
time. Now, I want to bring something out for you, so you might have a comment about it, but for everyone to consider this. There is a tension between the 10th Amendment, which says that, I just read it a moment ago, that the federal government can't do anything unless it's specifically stated in that Constitution.
Right.
In the Constitution. And there's a tension between that and the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment gave the federal government the authority to lord it over the states. And it is essentially unlimited authority, because in the 14th Amendment it says that the federal government essentially is going to be a watchdog over the states even though it doesn't say that the federal government is the one that's doing it, it is in practicality, the way it functions is it is the federal government, and they're using the courts to usurp the will of the people. This is what's happened. So there's a tension there. And what's happening is, and what is developing, is there are states, some governors, some people in the states as well, are saying, well, look, if we're going to abide by the Constitution, we can nullify anything that the federal government says, whether they use the courts or not, to nullify that, because they don't have the right to do that. And it doesn't matter whether it comes from the Congress, from the President, or from the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter if it's not specific. They're using the 10th Amendment to do that, and I think rightfully so. But the problem is the 14th Amendment has effectively taken that away from the states. But the 14th Amendment did not rescind the 10th Amendment. So now you have a clash here. You have the 14th Amendment clashing with the 10th Amendment, and a lot of people are essentially functioning according to the 14th Amendment, where it's clashing with the 10th Amendment. I don't know what's going to happen, but at least I would like the listeners to understand that's what's happening. Hardly anyone understands what the 14th Amendment is. They don't know the Constitution. They don't know about these amendments. And what happened, in fact, I heard a pundit just the other day. It was on I was watching Fox News, and this pundit was arguing that the federal government had the right to do this. And they say they got the right to do this from the 14th Amendment. And if you can believe this, this pundit said, that's supposed to be a political pundit, knows all these things, said that the 14th Amendment was part of the Bill of Rights. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And I had another, I was at a prayer breakfast where a physician that was a medical political activist, I guess you could say, was talking about this same issue. He was talking about how the federal government has usurped so much of the authority that belongs to the state, but he didn't mention the 14th Amendment. Now, for some people who are listening are not familiar with the 14th Amendment, I might read some more out of my book in a moment that explains how it punished the South. The South, if you were part of the states that left the Union. By the way, it was not a war between the states. It was a war between two countries. It was the Confederate States of America. That was the South. They were not states. They were a sovereign nation. And so that's a misnomer. And nor was it a civil war. A civil war is where you have the people trying to get their power back from a government that has essentially become tyrannical. And that's not what the South did either. The South seceded and became a new nation. All they wanted to do was be left alone. So you have these this guy that was a medical, a political pundit, I guess you might say, didn't recognize that the 14th Amendment probably even more so than the 17th Amendment. Now, some people have heard about the 17th Amendment, where senators used to be appointed by the House of Representatives. They're elected for 6 years. And if a senator got in there, like some of the ones we have today there, then the House of Representatives could just recall them and appoint another senator that would be more responsible and responsive to the people. But now we elect them for 6 years, and when they're doing just 6 years is a long time. And once a politician gets in there and ignores the will of the people, we have no recourse until the next election cycle comes around for them to be elected out of office, I guess you could say. But there are other remedies, such as they can be impeached. But that's you go to the courts, and it seems like the courts are heavily in favor of continuing the 14th Amendment. So there is a tension there between the 10th Amendment and the 14th Amendment, and I don't know how it's going to play out in our country. But there are people who recognize that the states have the right to nullify anything that comes down from the federal government that is not delegated to them in the Constitution. And whether they have the will to do it or not, I guess depends a lot on the people, whether they have the will to demand that this take place.
Well, you know, Mike, that tomorrow in Texas, we have the general election, and people talk about we need to throw all the rascals out, we need to end all this, but when it comes time to, when they don't study the issues, they just go and repeat and pull the same old lever that with the guys that are in there, and some of them are what we call neocons. They speak conservatively, but when they act, it is opposite of that. And you've got to be on guard and study the same issues. Like here's a case where Cornyn voted to extend the debt limit of our nation, and that's going to wreck us. So tomorrow is the best way in the world that I know of until we can get further down the road is for term limits. Let's just cast the rascals out. I'll let you go with that.
Okay, thank you for calling in, Pete.
All right, bye.
All right, thank you, Pete, for calling in. Remember, the number is 979-830-0163, and you can call in. You can call in and ask a question about what we're going over or any question you have or comment. I'm going to continue now with what I have in the book that has to do with the 14th Amendment. We saw an example of this, that is where we have the tail wagging the dog with the 14th Amendment. We saw an example of this in 1994 in California's Proposition 187. This ballot initiative was overwhelmingly passed by the people, denying free, that is, taxpayer-funded social services to illegal aliens. I'm not quoting now, I'm just commenting. The state of California were being inundated with illegal aliens. Excuse me, I have a call coming in. Hello, you're on the air with Pastor Mike Smith on the Jim Brittell Show.
Hello, Pastor Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
I can already recognize who this is, but you can go ahead and tell everybody.
And then I'll let you answer it is, you had mentioned before with Dr. Jim Brittell a book that you had read by Judge Napolitano that's titled, It's Dangerous to Be Right in a Government That's Wrong.
Right.
So if what Pete was saying is our best way to fight this is to get out and vote the rascals out, which I love to quote that, if they don't do and we don't really know if our votes ever counted and our voice isn't heard when we supposedly write our congressmen, it seems to me what's the answer other than spiritually? How do we rally to stop this cancer that's infecting our free nation? And I'll let you answer that and go away.
Okay. Well, you don't have to go away. You can hold on if you'd like. Here's the book. Let's see if I can show this in the camera here. Here's the book that you're talking about. It's Dangerous to Be Right When the Government is Wrong by Judge Andrew P. Napolitano. That's a very good question, Candy. Up to this point, it seems like whoever has the most money seems to win the elections. People who are benefited by the status quo, that is by big government, by people who are on welfare, people in other countries that get foreign aid, people who are in the tax business that help people do their tax. We have a progressive income tax that is a total fiasco. Nobody can figure it out, so people hire accountants and so forth to do that. They benefit. There's so many people that benefit by it, so they want to keep things as they are. But there's a host of people who do not. But I don't know how many people who vote actually go into the voting record of the candidates, because that's where the rubber meets the road. We see these very slick campaign commercials where they get on there and you would think that they're just under George Washington, they're the greatest patriot there ever was, and you see especially close to election time, commercial after commercial after commercial of these politicians. And that means it's name recognition. That's what they're trying to get across. And so people say, well, I don't know this person over here running, but I've seen this one. It must be good. And they vote. I don't, you know, until the people are informed, until they know what their rights are, that is, with the Constitution, until America becomes biblically literate to where they know that we have a God of freedom and they start thinking as independent-minded people, I don't know that if anything is going to change. I don't want to sound like a pessimist, but I think we need to be realistic about it, that this country changes when the people have the will for it to change. And up till now, people have been reared in the public schools. Some call them government schools. They've been trained from early on to think like slaves. They act like slaves, and they vote like slaves. And so I think to answer your question, the best that I can is the first step in the right direction for us to regain our freedoms is to acquire knowledge. And first of all, I think what's paramount more than anything is to gain knowledge about what does God think about this? What does the Bible have to say about freedom? People go to Romans 13 and they think, well, the government, the Bible requires us to submit to, unconditionally submit to the government, even if it becomes tyranny. We're obliged, we're mandated by God to submit to that. And that's simply wrong. That's much of the book that I've written has to do with that, to shine light on that erroneous concept. So they need to know that they have the freedom from God in order to stand up for what is right and to stand up for freedom.
Well, I think, if you don't mind my interrupting or
sure,
whatever,
sure.
I agree with you with the school system, only I call it the American fool system. And number two, I think when they understand what Romans 13 says, but if they bring it down to a smaller example, as in a husband and wife situation, they would realize whoever is the one that's getting battered or abused, you don't have to obey that person's authority if they are totally out of line. So why would a nation in a larger scale have to follow somebody's tyrannical, almost deadly mandate? And well, your number three, and then I will hang up, is I think the nail on the head is what you just said. It's pastors like you that are informing their congregation who may not have been very savvy in what's happening historically and with these trends of our nation spiraling out of control. But if it weren't for men like you that told their congregation, not told, but you know, communicated to their congregation how important it is for us to know first and foremost where our rights came from, which you and Jim Pertelle talked last week or whichever week that was. But they have got to wake up, and I think you men are you're on the front line. The men that are doing this are on the front lines to help this nation wake up. And after that, I just want to say I thank you for your being on the front line, because you're going to get popped at a lot.
I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about not doing my job as being a watchman on the wall, and not only teaching the truth, but where I have in this book, I've tried to do what I think is the first step for this country to be free again, and that is inform them. It was Thomas Jefferson that said, if you think you can be ignorant and free, you expect what never was or never will be. And that's true. You have to know something. And how many people know anything, I mean anything, about the Constitution? And if you don't know your rights, it's the same as not having their rights. And the problem, well, there's so many problems, but one of the main problems is that in our country, the Constitution is a joke. We have politicians that openly, publicly mock the Constitution and are elected over and over again. And any politician in office that does not uphold the solemn oath that he took when he put his hand on the Bible and left hand and raised his right hand and took an oath before God and the people that he is to serve, when they break that oath, they're criminal. what you said a moment ago, Candace, is this. That's right. God has given the husbands authority over their wives, but only in the sense that they stay within the bounds of that authority that God gave him. Anytime a husband is to love the wife as his loves his own body. This is in Ephesians chapter 5. And so when he goes outside the bounds and starts using her as a punching bag, then he has forfeited his position of authority, because God never delegated that authority to him. It's just like in the country, it's our constitution that is the rule of law. This is where the government can go this far and no farther. Outside of that, they relinquish their position of authority and are no longer, they no longer have to be submitted to, because they're no longer ministers of God for good. It's the same way in the marriage. If a husband starts abusing his wife, he's lost his authority and has lost the right to be submitted to, because he's no longer, he has gone outside the boundary that God has given him. And until people start understanding that and just dismissing and saying, well, this is the way it is, and we have to submit because of the Bible tells us, and they don't know their rights, then you wind up with people, you wind up with a president and a Congress and a Supreme Court like we have today. So are you still there, Candy?
Yes, I'm still here. So I will, I know you only have a few minutes left. I will say with Pete, go ahead and get out and vote. But you'll never stop voting if you get into a church like yours, like Country Bible Church, that teaches the truth, knowing your God first that gave you these rights, and then knowing how to protect them as a good steward of the Word of God and a patriot and someone who, if you're not even a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who is divinely establishment-oriented and knows what is important in preserving their rights. And with that, I salute you and the work you're doing.
Salute you as well. Thank you for calling in, Candy. What Candy is saying is so important. Hosea chapter 4 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And this was Dr. Jim is doing, and others that are on his network, and I know a few other pastors that are out there that are sounding the alarm and trying to inform the people. Excuse me, that's my fault. There you go. They're trying to inform the people, but there's a lot of resistance. In fact, there's many people that go to churches that think that the pastor must completely stay away from any political issues. Anything that has to do with the government, anything that has to do with politics is off limits for them. Well, anybody that has that mentality is ignoring all of the things that the Bible has to say about politics and the government, as well as the history, because the history of our own country, I don't like to call it the Revolutionary War, because it wasn't a revolution. It was actually the first war of independence, I think is a more accurate name. And in that war, we probably never even gone to war were it not for the pastors at that time. The pastors were known as the Black Regiment, sometimes called the Black Robed Regiment, because of the long black robes they would wear as they preached, as they taught the Word of God. And their messages were published. That's why we know what they said. And the people were taught the whole realm of doctrine. They were taught that God is a God of freedom. And they taught Romans 13 correctly. On Lexington Green, the shot that was heard around the world was on church grounds by a minister and his congregation that refused to allow the British to disarm them, because they knew that if they were disarmed, they would be slaves. People don't know that history. They don't know the phenomenal courage that they had. In fact, when the British hated the American pastors, because they knew that they were the driving force behind this movement for freedom. And if they ever got a hold of a pastor and many times he would be executed. They burned down churches. All these things took place, but this is beyond the mentality of most Americans. They've been dumbed down to the point to where they think that if pastors say anything about politics, especially if you mention a political figure, well, the Bible is certainly not is full of examples where you have people like John the Baptist that called the people who were in government at that time whitewashed tombstones and a den of vipers. Even our Lord said the same thing towards the scribes and the Pharisees, and the scribes were essentially lawyers of the day. So people aren't aware of this, and they just seem to go along, and a lot of people know that something's dreadfully wrong in this country, but they don't know what to do about it. Well, the first thing they need to do, again, I say, is to be informed. Inform themselves. Read the Constitution. See what it says for yourself. And when you see this, you're going to be alarmed. You're going to see, well, we're not operating under this document. And that's why we have the problems we have. Furthermore, people are afraid, especially Christians, think that, well, I don't have the right to speak out or because I'm supposed to suffer for Christ. And if I'm under tyranny, I don't have the right to voice my opinion or to speak out. That's the first line of defense, or at least the first step in the right direction to regain the freedoms that we've lost. And listen, folks, we are pretty far down that road of tyranny already. And the people, if they don't wake up soon, very soon, it might be that we've gone beyond the point of no return. And I'm not trying to shock or scare anyone, but we have to look at reality, and we need to get on our knees to the ruler of the universe and ask for his assistance to help us to stand for truth and righteousness. And if we all do that, I think there might be a grassroots swell that is unstoppable. Good morning. You're on the air with Pastor Mike on Jim Brittell's show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, please speak up as loud as you can, because we're on the speakerphone and they can't hardly hear, so speak very loud. Go ahead. Hello? Did I lose him? Well, I'm sorry about that call. I don't know who that was, but we only have 1 minute left. Maybe the caller can call in next time. Next Monday, Dr. Jim and I will be on the air again, and we'll probably be going over this issue as well as the other ones that we were going over. It also had to do with the 14th Amendment. So I hope that you will tune in next Monday at 9 o'clock. Dr. Jim will be back. And in the meantime, I hope that you will read the Constitution and start reading your, most of you probably are already reading your Bibles, I hope that you will focus on those parts that have to do with freedom. We're going to try this again. Hello? You're on there. Are you on? I'll try another phone here. Hello, you're on the air. Can I help you? Hello? Well, I guess the caller tried again. Whoever the caller is, I have to get off the air now because it's already at 10 o'clock. But I hope you will call me and let me know what you have on your mind, and we'll see what we can do. Well, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are the God of the universe and have everything under control. We need to look to you first in order to deliver us from evil. And we know that you can do that, but we have to have the knowledge in order to do the right thing in the right way. So we pray that you will help us to do that, and that people will start communicating to other people so that the truth will spread throughout the land and that we can get our country back. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you again for being with me this morning. Dr. Jim will be back Monday. Bye-bye. I have to stay on here for, I believe, about another minute for the encoder to catch up with us. So